So my IS is about the long-term future importance of investments in economic growth and global catastrophic risk reduction. So what this is that decisions that we have in terms of investing, investment decisions always involve trade-offs, in that the more we invest on one cause, the less we invest on something else. And my IS is really motivated by this idea that the long-term future really matters. That is that humanity surviving up to the long-term future really matters, and it really matters that we have a great long-term future, not just sort of a survival state long-term future. And if that's true, then two causes appear to be really important, and those are economic growth and global catastrophic risk reduction. Economic growth sort of is responsible for improving quality of life, while also sort of expanding the opportunities that we have for investing in many other things in the future. And global catastrophic risk reduction basically can be thought of as expanding our ability to survive, in that the more we invest in reducing these risks, the more likely we are to survive them, and the more likely we are to not sort of suffer drastic economic impacts of risks such as pandemics, climate change, and many others. And so those two causes seem to be really important, but at the same time, it's sort of hard to understand how we should trade off between these two causes. How much should we invest in one of them over another at different points in time in human civilization? And my study concerns sort of trying to answer that question, trying to understand how the two relate to each other, and how what's the procedure that we ought to use in order to make those trade-offs. And so a very key idea to my IS and to this whole idea of making trade-offs in the far future is intertemporal impartiality. Intertemporal impartiality says that the value of a benefit or a harm or of a good or a bad does not depend on when it happens. So in the same way that we think today that the value of a life does not depend on whether a person is in America or in Africa, the value of a life should not depend on where this person is located temporally, or which is where in time this person is. So saving a life right now is just as important as it was 500 years ago, and it should be still as important in 5,000 years. And so this is an idea that I defend in my IS. However, when economists try to answer the question that I'm trying to answer in my IS, or questions that are similar to this, such as when they're trying to estimate how much society ought to invest in climate change mitigation, they often discount benefits and harms insofar as they occur further in the future. So the further something is in the future, the less important it is for these economists, for many climate change assessments, for example. What I argue is that, and the way that they do this is that there's something called a social welfare function. And basically this function, sort of given a policy and an estimate of what the impact of that policy would be in the long run. Say you have a policy about investing, like every year you invest 30% in economic growth and 70% in global catastrophic risk reduction or something, then this social welfare function would tell you what would be, over the very long run, the total social welfare that that policy would sort of cause, and then you can compare it to other policies. And when economists use this social welfare function, they often include a discount rate that, as I said, discounts the future. A key sort of argument in my paper is that we should replace this discount rate with a probability weight. So probability weight, instead of discounting the future because we think the future matters less than the present, which according to intertemporal impartiality is false, rather we weight the future according to the probability that it exists. So this is that, so say we think that there are a number of existential risks, that is risks of humanity going extinct, that we're gonna sort of have to survive if we want to get to the area 5,000. But say that there are many of these risks are sort of like there's nothing that we can do about them. Then we should wait the future or whatever we would get to if we survive to the year 5,000, according to the probability that it exists. So because sort of like we don't want to be, for example, spending a lot of investment into making the future at year 5,000 really good if there's a really, really tiny chance that we ever survive up to it. But this is in general not the message actually of my paper. The message is rather that this probability weight would probably be very small, which means that the future matters a lot actually. We should be making a lot of investments towards improving the future. And the way that I explore more formally then this idea of the trade-offs between economic growth and global catastrophic risk reduction is through the use of an economic model. And so this is a model that I create that is sort of based on optimal control theory, which is a kind of mathematics that is used in general climate change assessments and these kinds of models of trade-offs between sort of different kinds of investments that happen over time. And the key thing to say about my model is that it really allows us to sort of put our assumptions on sort of paper and see what they result in terms of how economic growth relates to global catastrophic risk reduction, in that economic growth allows us to expand the economy, global catastrophic risk reduction allows us to invest in getting less exposure to these harmful risks. And perhaps a very sort of important conclusion of creating this model is that I was able to observe a bunch of presuppositions that are necessary for any model that captures this kind of trade-off that I'm trying to capture. That any model that tries to capture that must have these presuppositions. And in fact, I'm going to now talk about them, but these presuppositions are not necessarily very plausible. In fact, they could be quite implausible. And so it's important that we highlight them. One is that in order for any model like this to work, we must be able to individuate when an investment affects global catastrophic risk reduction and when it affects economic growth. And in the real world, that's not often very easy because it seems like a lot of different investments have various sort of indirect and direct effects that are quite sort of hard to estimate. Then we must also have sufficient information about the expected output of the economy given input resources in this economy. And this in general is sort of the subject of study of an entire field in economics of sort of development and sort of capital accumulation. And it turns out that it's actually very hard to estimate this. And so, but my model requires that we're able to estimate this with a high degree of confidence. And also, we should be able to estimate the likelihood and consequence of different catastrophic risks, different global catastrophic risks, and that's also something that is very hard to do. It's very hard to know how likely a risk is to occur and how bad it would be if it occurred. And so this basically is an important part of my IS, was sort of observing the different or pointing out the different assumptions that this approach to trying to answer the question of how much we should invest in economic growth and how much in global catastrophic risk reduction at each point in time has to make the different assumptions that this sort of framework has to make. Yeah.